So we want to start a new series this morning, and it's called Fruit, Works, and Rewards. Say that with me, Fruit, Works, and Rewards. Now, the Holy Spirit has told us over the last few weeks that he's doing a new thing, that God is doing a new thing, right? And that he's calling us to be intimately involved with what he's doing. And it's our choice if we want to participate in what he's doing. And we know that there is a great end-time harvest taking place on the earth. It started already. It's already occurring in the earth. We're kind of late to the party. But we have been invited by the Lord to participate in this. But here's the thing. In order to participate in this, we have to make 100% complete commitment. And that's exactly what Amanda said. There is 100%, like the early church. You know, the early church, you died for your faith. You got eaten by lions. You got crucified. If you spoke up, you were in trouble. So you either believed or whatever, you know. So you were bold about it. You were 100% commitment. I honestly believe that this is the phase that we're entering into again on in the earth. Now, again, we keep hearing this, that there is a latter rain. There's a former rain and a latter rain. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is going to come in the latter rain. And the purpose of coming in latter rain is to ripen the precious harvest on the earth. Now, people, the only thing that's precious on the earth is people. People. That's all. Right? That's who Jesus died for. He didn't die for anything else. He died for people. And so we need to understand the most precious thing on the earth is you and I and our neighbor. So the Holy Spirit is coming to bring about a great harvest of the precious fruit, which is people, for the Father God. And so the Holy Spirit is going to do something. You see, this is not something that's been initiated by man. It's a God thing. Everybody say God thing. It's a God thing. Well, right now, we've got to understand who is the precious fruit that he's coming for. The precious fruit he's coming for this generation are those that have been rejected, those that are feeling lonely, abused. They're broken like no other generation ever before. They have lost their identity. Both moral and gender identities are gone. Broken homes, fatherless situations have resulted in this generation turning to drugs and alcohol and needless sex to try, or senseless sex to try and solve the internal pain that they're experiencing. They don't know where to go. They can't. They have no hope. Now listen, we are the hope. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the help that they don't know they need. You need to understand that, okay? So this is the calling that is resting upon us right now. Now, last week we spoke about the prophet Ezekiel, and he was told by God to speak certain words out over a valley of dry bones. And those words were prophetically spoken out. God told him what to say, and then he spoke. And you all know those dry bones came alive, and sinew came on, flesh and muscle, every skin came on, the whole thing. But this massive horde of bodies had no life in them. They were the living dead. Until Ezekiel called the Holy Spirit and the breath of God that filled them. And the moment that spirit filled them, they became alive. And that symbolizes the end time revival that is going to occur also at the same time as the Jewish nation returning to Israel, which we see happening right now. So they're parallel truths. The question I have for you today is, who do you identify with? Are you part of the horde of dry bones that's been brought to life? Or do you identify with Ezekiel, with a God-given authority and position and anointing to prophesy life to the dead? Who are you? Who are you? Tell me who you are. Ezekiel, okay? So stop seeing yourself as the one who needs to be revived and healed and brought back, and see yourself as the worker of miracles. See yourself as the spokesman of God. See yourself as the one who's supposed to be preaching the good news to those who are lost and dying. Stop seeing yourself as the lost and dying, always needing help. If you've been a Christian for 1 week, you've been a Christian longer than somebody else has been. And you ought to be helping and mentoring them instead of calling out for help. Some of you have been saved for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years and you still don't know up from down. It's the truth. It's the truth. When are you going to grow up? So this today, I'm beginning a mentoring session. I'm going to mentor you for the next few weeks. All right? You okay with that? All right. Yeah, you need help. Amen. Listen. Church, you are to be the manifested sons of God. You're to be the voice, the prophetic voice of God in the earth. If you don't, who will? Who are you leaving it for? Who else is going to do it if you won't? Somebody's got to step up to the plate. Stop looking in the mirror and saying, oh God, look at, I'm useless. We know. Don't you know God only uses useless vessels? God only uses broken things because that's what makes him famous. He uses mud pots. All the mud pots said, amen. Amen. This is not called the potter's out for nothing. But we are the ones that are supposed to bring the healing and deliverance and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't, who does? We're the ones swimming in the river. We're the ones who have the river of life flowing from us. Okay? So we've got to take this to the world. So now let's get practical with this. How do we do this? What is required from us to get this done? To bring this life and hope and deliverance? And what happens if we don't do it? Is there any consequence if we don't do it? So let's have a look at this. What is our part to play? Now let me just be clear. I've titled my sermon, Works, Fruit, Works, and Rewards. And God is a rewarder, but he's also a judge. That went over really well, based on the enthusiasm we had up until then. Now, let me define our terms for this discussion we're going to begin to. First, we'll talk about a gift. Gift is something you get without earning or deserving. All right? I mean, just being born on a certain day, you get a gift. Yay. I mean, for what? And then as you get on in life, you stop telling people what day you were born. Okay, so a gift is something you don't earn, you don't deserve. Somebody just gives it to you. That's a gift. Then there is the reward. Now, obviously, a reward is something that you get rewarded for, which means you did something. You earned something. All right? It's something that you did that you got rewarded for. Clear? So separate gift from reward. Then we want to talk about fruit. Now, here's the tricky thing about fruit. Fruit can be two things. A fruit can either be something that is developed in your life through an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, through that intimacy with God. Fruit grows without any effort. And something changes in you and you change into the image of Jesus, fruit. Or there is another fruit where you actually do something as a righteous deed and it produces a fruit. Okay? Two different kinds of fruit. So we need to be careful which ones we're talking about. Then there is a work or a deed. Now in the Old Testament, keeping the law was referred to as works. Because they were trying to obtain righteousness with God by keeping the law, so it was referred to as works. But then there is another work, a work that we do as a result of being righteous. Because I'm already a righteous dude, Christian, I do righteous things. And my deeds are righteous deeds. So they're also works. But they follow after the fact that I became righteous. I'm not trying to obtain a right standing with God. It is because I am already righteous. Now, these deeds that we're talking about here can only be done for someone else. A righteous work can never be done for you. In other words, let's say you're struggling with cigarette smoking. And I'm not picking on smoking. Okay? If you want to smoke, smoke. When you get to heaven, when you tell Jesus we're having an awesome time here, what am I saying? You're going to beat me there. You're going to smoke your way right into heaven. You say, well, you sure I won't go to hell? No, nope, just smell like you come from it. Hello. Are we okay? Of course we're okay. We're okay. You didn't come here to hear junk. You came here to hear the truth. What I'm telling you is if you quit smoking, for whatever reason, you're not going to be rewarded. Now I got your attention. You're not going to be rewarded because you didn't do it for somebody else unless you did it for your kids who are living with secondhand smoke. But you don't get rewarded for anything you do for yourself. You get rewarded for what you do for others. Got it? Easy enough? All right. So now, let's talk about one more thing, and it's not in your notes, an anointing. And because we're talking about rewards and works and everything else, anointing will come into the picture. And I want to just say to you this, that anointing is something that God gives somebody without asking them. God chooses and God gives it. You have the right not to operate in it. You have the right not to accept it. You can do that. You can let the anointing rest upon you and never ever use it. But why would you? But the anointing is never forced upon somebody, but it's certainly made available to somebody, and it is something that God chooses to give. In his own wisdom, he chooses to give that anointing, all right, that enablement. All right, now, briefly I want to touch on gifts, and then we're going to go on to something else, to rewards and so on. So, from Ephesians 2 and verse 8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved." Everybody say saved. Saved. You notice it's in the Bible. The word saved is in the Bible. It's not like, oh, do you belong to that group called themselves saved? That's a weird group, you know. Some Christians actually say they're saved. Yeah, because it's in the Bible. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a what? Yes. Say it out loud. Yes. Now, I just explained to you what a gift is. So that would mean you couldn't earn it. You couldn't work for it because it's a gift. So it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation cannot be classified as a reward. So heaven can never be a reward. Heaven can never be a reward because you can't earn it. It's a gift. Salvation is what qualifies you to go. And this gift has to be received by faith. All gifts have to be received by faith. The gift of righteousness, by faith. Gift of the Holy Spirit, by faith. Everything comes by faith. If you don't use faith, you don't get it. No amount of hard work will ever get you salvation. I don't care how much you fast and pray. You will not produce salvation through self-deprivation. I didn't say that right. But you know what I'm saying? No matter what you do to your body, doesn't produce salvation. Because if it did, it would be a work and you have earned it. And if you earn salvation, Jesus died in vain. Jesus didn't have to come. You could have done it. We could all have got there. If we could get there without Jesus, we didn't need Jesus, then he died for nothing. Clear? All right. So if you would, please bring my board around. Put it up on the top here for me. We're going to start with the foundation of being born again. This is the beginning. And that's where we are this morning. We're going to start with the foundation of being born again. And I want to explain the whole series to you in a drawing. You know, I like to draw. Not very good at it, but I do like to draw. So I try and keep it simple. Okay. So in my drawing here, the foundation, salvation through faith in Jesus. Got that? Can everybody see it? Can you all see it? All right, can you see it over that side? All right, cool. All right. So, the foundation is salvation through Jesus. Now, underneath this foundation, we have good works to earn salvation or righteousness. What do you think about that? Okay, good. Then you were listening. Just checking. So, this is a no-no this year. This doesn't work. So, I'm going to cross it all out. I didn't want to waste your time while I drew it and crossed it all out again. But there you go. So that's gone. So you can't get there. See, because what that's trying to do, it's actually trying to bypass Jesus and trying to get up here. And I'll show you what's coming. All right. So now, the foundation we do, we build on two things. There's two sides to this. The first part is deeds or works, this side here. This side, we have to take care of the acts of the sinful nature. And we're going to read this. We're going to show you. Okay? It's exactly what Amanda was speaking about in her vision. Now, your righteous deeds or your righteous works, according to the Bible, are going to be tried by fire. Okay? They're going to be tried by fire. Do you know what the righteous deeds here are going to produce? It's going to produce ultimately rewards. But the first thing it's going to do is this. It's going to produce a wedding garment. This is your outer garment at the wedding of the Lamb. There, from your righteous deeds. If they get burnt up by fire, you have no garment. Are you still with me? Don't go home yet. Now, if your righteous deeds, tried by fire, produce a result, the result is fruit from works. Or fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That means lots of fruit. Lots of deeds. If I lose you, just raise your hand. If you're like, what, when, who? Okay. Because I don't want you to miss this. Because this, I'm giving you the whole series in a drawing. I like drawings. I like to see things in the drawing. Who else likes to see things in drawing? Oh, cool. Cool. Okay. So, from the fruit or the fruitfulness, you now get rewards. That's why you are rewarded. You're rewarded for your fruit or fruitfulness. But if it got burnt up, you're not rewarded. So works, your works are going to be tried. We're going to show you the scripture. The works are going to be tried. And only some are going to be counted for good. Got it? All right. And if that happens, guess what? This is what's going to happen to you. And I'm going to show you scripture for this as well. You're going to get crowns. At least three crowns. Now, tell me something. Anybody raise your hand and say, I didn't know I was going to get a crown. Raise your hand and say, I didn't know I was going to get a crown. Only five of you? Jeez, like I thought there'd be a lot more. Then anyway, who's not going to raise their hand? Okay. All right. Now, the acts of the sinful nature, we're going to see that in Galatians, the acts of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh, have to be stopped. This is the tears that have to be stopped. Because what's right above it, is the fruit of the Spirit. They're connected. You'll see that in Galatians, fruit of Spirit, okay? I'm going nice and slowly so you can follow because we're going to build on this a lot, okay? So the fruit of the Spirit is an outworking of the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, and it comes through intimacy with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature will hinder this. That will stop this. Do you get it? So you have to deal with this. Now, from the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit here, you get kingdom of God. Yeah, I know you look at what? How did that? I thought I had it earlier. Yep. I could say this image of Jesus. From glory to glory. It comes through this avenue, not through this avenue. This goes up right the middle, it splits. This here produces this. But this never produces this. In fact, if you do this, these deeds here, If you do these deeds without this, you're going to hear these words. Depart from me, I never knew you. It's in the Bible. People did this and they thought that they were cool because they were healing the sick, casting out demons, and doing all that stuff. And Jesus said, get away from me. I don't even know you. It is more important that you know Jesus and that he knows you than you lay your hands on the sick person. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't lay your hands on the sick person as an excuse. It means you need to get to know him. Because getting to the kingdom of God depends upon you getting through this year. Now watch. That's my introduction. All right? Got it? Take pictures if you want. See, if people are not at church this morning, shame on you because you can't see it. Why don't we go ahead and take that down? We'll leave it up for you afterwards. You can take some pictures if you want to with your phone. All right? So let's show you now. The fruit, well, you know what? I might need to refer to it. I didn't draw all that for nothing. Yeah, like that. You guys, you got a close-up of it. Okay, we'll swing that around if we need to show you guys. Righteous fruit that we're talking about can only be produced after you're born again, never before. So if you go around collecting money for Save the Whales, it's an awesome thing. But that deed will never be included in your righteous package. As like, whew, if you're unsaved, it doesn't matter how many dogs you save, how many spotted owls you save. You listen to me, it doesn't matter. All of those things don't count. The righteous deeds only come into in your record after you've been born again. So, let me ask you this question now. How many of you believe right now or know that you are disciples of Jesus? Let me see. Now, I'm looking at every hand. If there's a hand not raised, I'm going to have an altar call. I want to see now. Now, I'm looking for those who say they're disciples of Jesus. All right. Now, I don't have anybody saying I'm not going to raise my hand. That's cool. Okay, that's good. So, everybody's raised their hands. You all declare that you're a disciple, that you love Jesus, and that you're a child of God. Correct? All right, good. Now, I've got you. Yeah. That was the most important thing. Now, let's begin reading from Galatians chapter 5, because I want to show you that the fruit of the Spirit should not be confused with righteous works. We've got two separate drawings there. Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to get stuck on that. Jealousy, fits of rage, fits of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul says, I warn you as I did before. So he told them when he was there at the church, he preached this. Now he's writing them a letter saying, I already told you this, now I'm writing it to you again. That those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, I need the board back up here. And you guys have got to see it back there. Do you remember the left-hand side of my picture? I got Kingdom of God at the top. Do you see that? Yeah. And I told you that from the foundation of salvation, we have to take care of the sinful acts of nature because we can't get to the kingdom of God without taking care of that. Remember that? Paul is talking to the church at Galatia. I'm talking to the church, the promise in Escondido. And I'm reading what the Bible says, and I'm warning you. That those who do that will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. It didn't say they won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you don't know there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Maybe you think they're the same. So let me explain to you. God is everywhere. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God was within you. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven was in you. He said the kingdom of God was in you. Why did he say that? Because the kingdom of God is where he rules, is where he reigns. But the kingdom of heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. The kingdom of heaven is a place where God rules. But God also rules here in your life. So this, where you are, your temple, is the kingdom of God, but it's not the kingdom of heaven. You're going to go to the kingdom of heaven if you have the kingdom of God in you. Who's lost? You're with me? Still with me? Okay, I don't want to leave you behind. I don't leave you behind, okay? So you've got to have the kingdom of God in you, which is the rulership of God, the lordship of God, with you submitted to him in you before you go to the kingdom of heaven. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven if that's not the so. But here's the thing. You can't get to the kingdom of God until you take care of this. The fruit of the flesh, the sinful nature, has got to be crucified and put down and put to death. And then the fruit of the Spirit has got to rise above and dominate. Because the fruit of the Spirit is, in fact, the image of Jesus Christ. And if you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you ought to demonstrate and illustrate what he looks like. If someone comes across your path and all they see is the fruit of the flesh or the sinful acts, they don't see Jesus Christ, you will lead them astray. Instead of leading them to Jesus, you lead them away from Jesus. And I'm sure preaching better than you saying amen, but it's not an amen shout. I know. I get it. Now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. Those who belong to Christ, that's you, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. If you claim to be Christ's, then you claim to have crucified the sinful nature with its passions. If this is still active, then you're a hypocrite. Because you're saying one thing and doing another. Awful quiet, huh? And how many know there's a lot of hypocrites in church? Do you know that people who get injured from people in church have all been injured from hypocrites? This is not so like, where's the ladder rain and the big thing that's going down and the new thing? It's people, this is the new thing. Now God is digging deep into your life because he's going to depend upon you to do the work and doesn't want you to mess up. So we've got to check out in the mirror and fix up, right? That's what he's saying. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is the image of Jesus Christ. It's us being changed from glory to glory. Now remember, fruit grows. Especially when we're talking about fruit on a tree or something, this fruit grows without the tree straining to produce it. You never see like, you know, an apple tree going, "You don't produce an apple. You will get this thing down. Come on, give me an amen. We just shout it out. Give me an apple. Boop. Glory to God. Am I an apple tree or what? Don't mess with me. This fruit is produced by intimacy. Purely spending time intimately with the Lord produces this fruit because you take on his nature. You take on his character. Love, patience, kindness, gentleness, it's his nature, not yours. Hello? Hello? How many of you have seen some of that change in your life? And you go, yeah, that's I've seen that change. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. All right, so that's his nature coming through. However, let me say this. These fruit that we're talking about now are not works. They are not works. So don't be confused now, because there are works. That's what I've shown you in the picture. There are works over here that come from here, righteous deeds, and there's a fruit that comes from a righteous deed. It's called fruit of fruitfulness. So let me read to you what Jesus said in John 15. John 15 and verse 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. Who does? The Father. Well, he just cuts off those branches that are like dying and that are just there. No. You've got to read the next two words. You've got to read the next two words. Where are these branches? Please, what are those two words? In me. Everybody say, in me. This is something you don't want to read. You want to tear this out, because this is ugly stuff. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father's the husbandman, the farmer, and he cuts off branches in me. You have to be in him to be cut off. Are you there? You have to be in me to be cut off. The question is, why would you cut him off? Because he sins a lot. So sin a lot. Oh, that's Sir Lancelot. Why does he cut them off? Can we say, why does he cut them off? They bear no fruit. They bear no fruit. How many of you think bearing fruit might be important? Just a smidge. Just a smidge. He bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Yeah, we thought we were going to get away with it. No. The branch that bears some, he prunes so that it can do what? Bear more fruit. This is not talking about the nine fruit that we read in Galatians. That's not talking about that fruit. It's talking about something else. It's talking about bearing fruit. You are clean. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So fruitfulness is bearing a lot of fruit. Fruitfulness is the result of a vital, intimate relationship between the believer and Jesus. So fruitfulness cannot be achieved independent of the Holy Spirit. Cannot. You have to remain in Jesus, and the same sap that's flowing through the vine flows into the branches, and the fruit is on the branch. And if you're not vitally connected to the branch, you have no fruit. If you have no fruit, that branch is going to be cut off. Some of you are sorry you came to church this morning. No, it's actually a good thing to hear this. It's actually a good thing to hear this. You see, the fruit of the Spirit here is not a work, but it is a result of an intimate, vital relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you change from the inward out, and you manifest the nature of Christ. That's what comes out of you. So when people poke you, love comes out. Patience comes out. All right? So it is the manifestation of the inward life of God. If the life of God is in you, you produce that fruit. So you can understand why, if you're not producing this fruit, the life of God is not in you, because this is what's ruling. The acts of the sinful nature are ruling, and that's going to block. It's going to block that intimacy. I guarantee you, those people who spend a lot of time in sin activities do not spend a lot of time in intimate prayer. Because you don't have the time. No, because you absolutely don't want to. Because when you've indulged in that darkness and that sin, your heart condemns you and you don't want to spend time with the Father or the Holy Spirit. Okay, it hinders you. It bothers you. So you don't go. You don't go there. So the fruit now that we're talking about can only be produced from the life flowing from Jesus. Now, God is seeking fruitfulness. Otherwise, he would not be cutting off the branch. It's not producing fruit. Correct? So let's have a look at the scripture found in John 15 and verse 5. We're continuing reading. We started John 15, 1. We continue reading. We're up to verse 5 now. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Not a little fruit. He will bear much fruit. So it can't be nine fruit. He can't bear nine fruit. No, he's going to bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. How readest thou?
Same as thee.
Verse 7. If. Everybody say if. If you remain in me. That means you may not remain in me. Hello. Jesus is speaking, and he said, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you shall ask what you wish, and it will be given to you. See, here's the problem. Jesus remains in you, but that's not what he's saying. He didn't say, if I remain in you. He said, if you remain in me. In other words, Jesus never gives up on you. You give up on him. If you don't, see, Jesus is in every believer, but Jesus' words are not in every believer. Because he said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So here's the problem. Christians have got to get to the place where Jesus is in them and his words are in them. And there's this big gap because there's a lot of Christians who are not willing to put in the time and the effort to renew their mind and to get the Bible and God's word into them. And so they sit between no man's land and heaven. And they can't understand why the devil kicks them around and why they're not having any success as a Christian. They can't figure this out. Well, I love God. I love God. God loves me. And? Well, that's all there is. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Because that's not all there is. There's a lot more to it. So, this is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory. That you bear much fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. Oh, that's painful. Uh-oh, that's painful. Oh, that's painful. By this, you glorify the Father in that your righteous deeds tried by fire produce much fruit. It's not this part. It's not the fruit of the Spirit that developed in you. It's this part. This is the part that the branch gets cut off for, not producing fruit. Here, get cut off. So my Father is glorified, Jesus says, in that you produce much fruit. Fruit that gets tried, and you produce fruit. And this is what proves you're a disciple. Jesus said so. Let me see how many disciples we've got in the house. Do we lose any between the beginning of the service and now? You committed yourself. You said, I'm a disciple. Then this is how I'll know you're a disciple. If I'm not seeing this, you think about it. Let me read it to you again. Verse 16, same chapter. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you will go and bear fruit. You've been appointed to bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain, your fruit will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask. So, works that are fruits of righteousness, I want to explain to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you need to know, God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing. It's talking about money. If we say money? All right. So we talk about money in church now. Listen. He will multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active kindness, goodness, and charity. So the giving of finances after you are saved for a righteous cause increases the fruits of your righteousness. This part here. The fruits of your righteousness are multiplied and increase if you give financially as a righteous deed. Not to get into heaven, not to impress God, but as a righteous deed to help the kingdom, to assist God's work. It results in fruit being increased to your account. I'm just reading the same book. I'm just trying to explain to you that if you've been giving and you've been tithing, you've been accumulating fruit. There's fruit in your account. You may not have known it, but it's there because the scripture says it's there. See, this fruit that we're talking about demonstrates your righteousness. This is not to obtain righteousness. This is not a work to try and get righteous. That would be the root. That would be down here. It's not the root. It's the fruit. It's the outworking. It's not the beginning. It's not you trying to get something from God. It's you doing it because God is in you. I'm not sure that you're with me. Please say I'm with you. I'm not convinced. You were created by God when you were born again, and you were anointed with a special task. That special task that you have to do is called your assignment, your purpose or your assignment that God has given you. And he created it for you. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. I can't do your assignment. I'm doing my assignment. If I have to stop doing my assignment and start doing your assignment, who's going to do mine? I am going to get rewarded for doing my assignment. You will get rewarded for doing your assignment. Now, our assignments will obviously vary, but within each assignment, there are many tasks, many tasks that have to be done. All right? So, for example, let me give you some examples here. Okay, so I'm called to preach and to teach. But starting up Harvest Church was a task within my assignment. Starting the Promised Church was a task inside my assignment. Doing Dare to Hope is a task within my assignment, that I could say it's an assignment within an assignment. You see that? So we have little assignments that flow together with the big assignment that we've got in our life. And all of us have got them. Let me read this to you because you need to see this. It's Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's own handiwork, the workmanship created in Christ, recreated in Christ. His workmanship recreated in Christ, that means born again. Why? That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. We have been born again to do the righteous deeds and the works that God has predestined for us to do so that fruitfulness can come, so we can get rewards and get crowns, and that the Father can be glorified. If you don't do this work that's assigned to you, it doesn't get done. And you were created with a special thought in mind. God literally set you up to do things, and they cannot fail because they are good works that he said you can do. God knows you can do it, and he gave you the task of doing it. Are you following me now? So if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. In your life, it won't get done. These are the special works that he's chosen for you to do. And let me just say this to you. You have been chosen, you've been appointed, and you've been anointed to produce good works. And I, as your pastor, I want to help you to accumulate fruit to your account. I'm not trying to stop you accumulating fruit. You sure know that I'm trying to help you. So some of you got pruned this morning. Hello. Now listen, I wasn't always a gardener, but I've become a gardener in my new home in Escondido. And I'm really loving it. I'm loving it. But man, is it hard work? You cannot believe how hard work is involved. I would have been 300 pounds by now had I not had a garden. I mean, I'd literally drink about 5 bottles of water when I'm out there pulling the weeds, digging up there. I mean, these weeds grow and like mushrooms. They just like, and there they are. It's like magic. Now, what I found is if I don't water my plants, they die. Guess what? I have to water them regularly to keep them alive, to keep them healthy. So a lack of Holy Spirit rain dries up the plant. It dies. A lack of the move of the Spirit, a lack of intimacy, and the plant dies. Now that the heat has come, I think, surely my plants are going to die. Wouldn't say that out of my mouth, but I thought it. I wouldn't say it, but I thought it. Who can live in 106 degrees? Who can? And be out there all day. All day. In that Santa Ana. Like, oh, help me, help me. There's a banana tree. He's crying. So you know what I did? I gave them more water. And would you believe all of my trees and my plants, they like shot up 6 inches, 7 inches, 8 inches. They like just, what? They just grew. And I am just like, I'm so amazed. Went from death to life because they gave them more water. In the middle of the heat, they grew. The heat is upon the earth right now. And what you're going to need to help you grow is more water. The river of life. You're going to see the greatest growth in your life is going to occur right now. Right now, as you tap into the river of life, you're going to see growth that you couldn't even imagine. Spurts of growth will become. Fruit will be abundant upon your tree. You will see it because this tree is going to produce fruit in its season, and the leaves will never go dry, because that's who you are. That's who you are. You are planted in God's garden to produce life and healing and deliverance at this time to those who are in need. So drink deeply from the river. Drink deeply from the rain that falls right now, because as it gets hotter and hotter and hotter through the enemy's work, so you will need to drink deeper and deeper and deeper to produce the fruit. But this is the time where you will bear much fruit, says the Lord. Now I need to quit. Just close your eyes and pray with me. Father, I commit myself to being a good tree. I want you to know that I'm passionate about you, Lord. I'm fully committed, 100% in. I drink deeply of the Spirit. And Lord, I want to produce the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of good works. Lord, thank you for training me. Thank you for helping me see this. Lord, I commit myself to it because I want to see you move in my life and in my friend's life and my family's life before it's too late. Here am I, Lord. Use me and prune me that I might produce more fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you all know that working in my garden, some of these trees begin to go brown and leaves begin to come down and stuff. It's like, ooh, ooh, like this. So I go out there with my cutters. I go out there with my shears. I go out there with knives. And I lay into these trees, banana trees and orange trees and all kinds of trees. And I cut off. And I cut off the brown-looking branches. And I cut off my giant birds of paradise. I cut those things off, and they burnt, and they frizzled. They looked, and I cut it out. And you're left with a skinny little plant. And Jackie said, what are you doing? Oh, my God. I said, give me a moment. Give me a few days. And people, in about 3 or 4 days, there is such beautiful growth. It is so green with flowers popping. You can't even begin to imagine the colors and the flowers and the fruit And it's just like, thank you for cutting me. What appeared to be a painful thing, what appeared to be, oh, save the broken branch. Save the branch. Don't cut it off. Save it. It's hurting. It's hurting. Save it. Give us. No, no. The branch that doesn't bear fruit gets cut off. And the rest of the tree produces so much fruit and looks so beautiful. It's unimaginable. Listen, church. Listen. We're right there. We're right there. So the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, certain things in your life. Don't get mad. Get glad. He is trying to help you. I am trying to help you. How many of you would like to end up on that day being fruitful? How many would like to end up in the day getting the crowns and the rewards? You're in the right place. I'm not here to drive you away. I'm here to make you stronger than you've ever been and more fruitful than you've ever been in the name of Jesus.